Welcome back. Joining me now for a look at the equity space is Martin Smith from Anchor Capital and Jacobus Brink from Novara. Thank you so much for your time, gentlemen. Global markets have really had a tough time this week, especially the Nasdaq, as it went into correction territory. Starting off with you, Martin, were you nervous?
Yeah, I think there's been a bit of general nervousness creeping into the market, I'd say, for the better part of the year. I think you've seen valuations ticking up well above kind of historic averages. And I think with the inflation being a little more persistent than the transitory message we got kind of or were given the whole of last year, I think it's a very dangerous environment, specifically for growth stocks. Obviously, as interest rates tick up a little higher than we think they will. I mean, it was two hikes were kind of in the price back end of last year. It's not four in terms of what the market's expecting. That discount rate obviously becomes a bit bigger and your growth stocks obviously kind of get affected by that. So nervousness, I think, is definitely warranted.
Yeah. On your side, Jacobus, how are you feeling about it? Were you worried? Are you seeing this as a good opportunity, a good buying opportunity to maybe shuffle things around?
Yeah, no, to be honest, we've been nervous for some time now, so it's almost like we saw sort of, you know, the market almost disproved our nervousness towards the back end of last year. You know, we were seriously questioning our sort of judgment, our outlooks on inflation and everything. And it's almost like the market woke up on the 1st of January this year and all of a sudden realized, listen, yeah, the Fed is more hawkish. Inflation could be less transitory. And now all of a sudden, you know, everything is just repricing. You know, so there's definitely a lot of nervousness in the market, but we've sort of been thinking that's where we should have been going. So we see this as quite a good buying opportunity.
Yeah, and the markets woke up when most of us were at the beach, and I feel like we're only now starting to work. Next week, the Fed has its January 2-day meeting starting on Tuesday. I mean, Martin, what are you going to be looking out for in that meeting?
So, I mean, I think the kind of consensus, the way they're going to do things is they're going to first finish up tapering, which is obviously accelerated. That'll finish in March. Only once that starts, then I think we'll see some of the interest rate kind of hikes come through. We think the first one will happen in March, obviously, when the tapering is done. The only other thing that you can maybe look towards is kind of guidance on the reduction of the balance sheet. But otherwise, I think not expecting any real surprises. Like I said, I think tapering will continue and finish up back end of March. And then we'll have our first hike then.
Yeah, and that's the thing, actually, because in the, still in the first week, that's when the announcement came out that the Fed would be unwinding the balance sheet. And we saw just markets going completely in the red. Jacobus, are you still, you know, spooked about that? Or has it settled in that, listen, the Fed will unwind the balance sheet and it's all going to be okay?
Yeah, I know. You know, we're not really spooked, to be honest. You know, we've been of the opinion that the Fed has been behind the curve, you know, so they are sort of playing a game of catch up, but it is extremely difficult. And, you know, you have to feel for Chair Powell. You know, he needs to be so focused on, you know, the sort of sentiment and rhetoric that he sort of portrays out there in every single one of his Fed speeches. You know, I think the market tends to focus a lot on the language currently. So, you know, any sort of hint that they might be a little bit more hawkish or a little bit more dovish, you know, and the market sort of, you know, completely sort of just runs with it. I do think, though, that, you know, they are unfortunately in a position where, you know, the bond market, it's sort of a tail wagging the dog type of thing. You know, the bond market is sort of trying to front run the Fed. And it's a difficult position for them. You know, the market is already pricing in a hike next week. Mm. You know, whether that is a bit early remains to be seen. But I think just with the general market nervousness all around, it probably won't be a good idea to hike. You know, he is obviously very, very aware of, you know, the market's perception of everything that goes out there, you know. So,
yeah.
So it's going to be a very interesting, I think next week is going to be a choppy, very nervous week. just all around.
Yeah. Martin, I know that investors globally are talking about Netflix and the kind of disappointment that they feel when it comes to the growth in their subscribers. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about an even more disappointing company. I want to talk about an even more disappointing company, and that's Peloton, the connected fitness equipment maker. I mean, that share price has nosedived more than 80%, and there's so much noise going on there. And I mean, it was the darling of the COVID period, and now it's just gone into the valley of darkness. I mean, do you still see something there?
So, I mean, both of those companies were, like you mentioned, the kind of stay-at-home darlings when COVID was rampant and people had to exercise on a bike with essentially an iPad on the top of it, or watch Netflix. But both of them disappointed in terms of the kind of guidance and stuff they gave. And I'll go into that in more detail in a second. But I first want to paint the backdrop. Like I said, it's not a great backdrop for growth at the moment. People are very nervous around growth, given the kind of risk around inflation and interest rates kind of picking up more than people expect. So growth is already on a kind of a dodgy wicket. Mm. So now you add to that the fact that these companies have disappointed in terms of the stuff that's come out in their numbers. People are obviously going to absolutely smash the stock. So, I mean, like you mentioned, Peloton down 80% in the last 6 months. The guidance and the full guidance was cut by about $1 billion. But you also saw, more interestingly, was that they've cut production of bikes and treadmills by 2 months because essentially demand can't keep up with the supply, which is obviously incredibly bearish. And again, highly valued stock, growth stock. Again, in this kind of backdrop of rising interest rates, it's not a good picture. And when you disappoint the way that they did and the way that Netflix did as well, the market's going to react very, very negatively. And that's exactly what we saw.
About $2.5 billion was wiped off the market value just yesterday. The share price is now at $25. And, you know, there's also the execs that sold their shares, a significant amount of shares, when the price was just over $100. I mean, do you see any kind of resuscitation there? And the CEO has actually come out today saying that they're taking significant corrective actions, Martin, still.
Yeah, I think so. But again, I think we also look at the kind of, again, the playing field that we're on and the backdrop we're on. I'm still not comfortable to put my money into something like Peloton. I don't think I was a few months ago or a year ago when I was on one of the shows on the channel. I think you've got to be very, very careful and very, very selective when it comes to the growth companies that you invest in. And you can still find good growth companies with good kind of earnings forecasts and moats around their businesses, trading at much better valuations. So I'm still very, very comfortable to sit on the sidelines with something like this, even though we've seen this precipitous fall in the share price over the last few months. Mm.
I want to go into the JSE and how it has performed. I mean, for the large part of the week, it was driven by resources, just being in the green when global markets were in the red. So our JSE's actually done pretty well this week. But I see today the resources are the biggest driver of the sour mood of the JSE. Jacobus, what's going on there?
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I think we see it reflected in the rand as well. Definitely pretty much the recent sort of divergence between global markets, especially in some of the EMs and the JSE, definitely, a lot driven by commodities, which have been rallying quite hard, especially gold. I think gold, it seems, is sort of once again, not that it never was, I think the market sort of experienced it as such. You know, it seems like gold is once again the inflation edge. Mm-hmm. I know last year sometimes Bitcoin was the inflation edge, but it looks like gold is actually shining through now. And that's obviously had an impact on the JSE. You know, other than that, you know, we saw some good numbers yesterday out of some of the retailers over the Christmas season. Yeah, so I think in general, you know, we've been fairly bullish on local stocks versus global, you know, in the very short term. So yeah, we have slightly overweighted it, you know. So it's good to see, you know, the market recognizing that and you know, we're seeing some good performance out of those.
Yeah. Updates from our retailers out today, Truworths, the Fashini Group, and also Mr. Price. Martin, pick one that really stood out for you. Just walk us through if anything surprised you or, you know, what you liked about it.
So, I mean, I'm deviating a little bit, so don't get too cross with me.
Okay,
but
okay.
No, Mr. Price and Fashini, they very, very big beats from those two businesses. Great, great numbers out and well ahead of expectations. Truworths, okay. Decent set of numbers, but nothing to kind of write home about. But the two kind of big performers were Fashini and Mr. Price. Mr. Price is kind of my preferred pick out of the sector. I think it's done very well with the acquisitions, the Power acquisition, the Yuppie Chef acquisition. It plays into that nice value segments as well, and they're contributing quite nicely, these new acquisitions, as well as the kind of core apparel business also doing very, very well. So it's a business I like, and I'm still very, very happy to own it. Still my preferred pick.
Yeah, and of course, saying also that they did lose some market share because they decided to sell more full-priced items in a very promotional environment. Let's hope that they didn't shoot themselves in the foot with that. But Jacobus, your top pick for today? Your stock pick?
I do share Martin's sentiment though on Mr. Price though, but my stock pick actually comes out of the global sphere. So we've been fairly bullish on EM for a while. You know, we think there's obviously been a lot of policy tightening happening, weak growth, you know, so we have been sort of focused in that area. And so my stock pick for today is Taiwan Semiconductors. They reported earnings over the past week. They beat top and bottom line estimates. The company, they've been doing really well. And, we've been starting to looking at building some positions in the stock for a while now. If you look back over the last year, they've pretty much gone nowhere.
Yeah.
And, since that earnings announcement last week, it started to really rally. But, you know, with all of the nervousness around it being obviously an EM stock in general, we've got another entry point. So I think that's definitely one, for now to get some long-term exposure to that, some of those more, longer term, trends.
All right. Martin, quickly, your stock pick for today.
It's my turn to agree with Jacobus. I think EM is a great place to be. Rand is giving you a chance now, I think, to take some cash offshore. So I convert into dollars. Something that we like at the moment is something called Crane Shares China ETF. Essentially plays into the kind of Chinese technology space. You've seen that index down in the region of 50% in 2021. I think there's really good value. There's stocks like Alibaba and obviously Tencent and things like that in the index. I think it's good value. I think if you see a kind of a bit of a bounce in EM, and obviously we hopefully at the back of kind of the regulatory issues we've seen from the Chinese government, and hopefully that kind of finishes up, I think you could see this index re-rate properly. But I think you might need to be a little bit patient and stomach a little bit of volatility.
Well, on that, actually, China has actually said that they want, I think, 10% of their GDP to be coming from the tech sector, I think, by 2025. So, thank you very much, gentlemen, for your insights. That was Martin Smith from Anchor Capital and Jacobus Brink from Novara.